welcome to a new episode of Pylon Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wolf. Pylon Podcast is a part of NationalFootballAuthority.com. You can actually follow NationalFootballAuthority.com at NF Authority. You can follow me on Twitter at Daniel Wolf NFL. That's Wolf spelled just like the animal, W-O-L-F. And welcome to Pylon Podcast. It's been a while. I do apologize for not getting these recorded and online as frequently as I would like to. I do have a lot going on, being that I have to oversee lots of websites, I write lots of content, I have another job running a website for a local Cleveland company, so I have a lot going on, and being able to record Pylon Podcasts may actually turn into a once-a-month or maybe twice-a-month type of affair. I'm not too sure. I do know with my other website, superheroauthority.com, I have a co-host over there on a podcast, and we try to get one out weekly. And you could actually go over to superheroauthority.com and listen into that if superheroes are your type of thing. And I am all about football, first and foremost, and then superheroes, secondly. But you know what? This is a football podcast, so we're going to talk football. I'm going to talk lots of draft, specifically draft when it comes to what the Cleveland Browns do, because as you already know, I cover the Cleveland Browns in the past for websites like BleacherReport.com. I was the beat reporter for the Browns there. I also have covered the Browns for NationalFootballAuthority.com. Even though I don't write as much as I used to over on NationalFootballAuthority.com, I still try to write a few things each week as well. But I do take to Twitter a lot, and I appreciate everyone that follows me at DanielWolfNFL. So, NFL draft. It is less than 2 weeks away. The rumor mills are just exploding at this point. And one of the biggest rumors was actually just published today at Cleveland.com by Mary Kay Cabot of The Plain Dealer, saying that I believe up to four teams have talked to the Browns with regards to having interest in trading up to acquire the number four overall pick in the first round. Two of the teams were specifically said to be the Philadelphia Eagles and the St. Louis Rams. Now, this is the time of year where the rumors are just out there. There's so many. And you believe what you want to believe. That's really what it boils down to. Some people have more credibility than others. You know, I'm still establishing my credibility, and I still also have quite a few sources. And I know, you know, I don't like to use the whole generic term sources, but that's really what it is when you're talking about being a journalist and being in the field of journalism. You have your sources, and your sources don't want their names to be said publicly. So that's why I always try to incorporate a little more detail about my source without giving away who he or she may actually be. And I'll actually, you know, in a couple articles I wrote for NationalFootballAuthority.com, I have a source who is close to the scouting ranks in the NFL. And he hears a lot of the same things that are written when it comes to rumors. He gives me some inside information. He's the guy that I actually went to when I saw this article posted on Cleveland.com talking about how the Rams are interested in trading up from 6 to 4. And I asked him, I'm like, you know, have you heard this? And he said, yes, I have heard this. And then I asked him, have you heard anything else about the Rams in regards to a possible first-round trade? And he's like, yes, I've heard that they want to trade down because they want to acquire more picks because they have a ton of holes across their roster. And as much as everyone thinks that the Rams are really, really interested in Justin Blackmon, and I'm sure a ton of their fan base is in agreement, my source, again, who is close to the scouting ranks in the NFL, said that the Rams actually seem like they're not as interested in Blackmon as they are in Michael Floyd. And I can see that because as of late, there's been lots of people who are saying that Blackmon isn't as elite of a wide receiver as many say he is. And if you look at this year's wide receiver class in the draft compared to, let's say, last year. Last year, there was two legitimate elite wide receiver playmakers in A.J. Green and Julio Jones. Both of them were picked by the sixth overall pick. And now you're saying that, yes, Blackmon is the top-rated wide receiver, but he's not as elite as A.J. Green or Julio Jones, but yet people think that he should be picked at number 4 overall by the Browns or number 6 overall by the Rams. There just seems to be an issue of value with that thought process to me, because he would have been the third wide receiver picked had he come out 1 year ago in the same class where there was A.J. Green and there was Julio Jones. And he probably would have been picked somewhere in the teens, maybe early 20s at the latest. So I see that's where his value is. Maybe it's inflated a little bit more because he is the top receiver available. But in my opinion, he is actually kind of treading on the whole, is he a top 10? Is he going to fall out of the top 10? That's kind of where I see Justin Blackmon at right now. And I actually see Michael Floyd could potentially jump over Justin Blackmon because his overall game is, in my eyes, a little bit better because he's a better blocker. He might not catch with his hands better, maybe just as good, but he's speedy, he's a bigger body, and there's more value with some of those measurables compared to a Justin Blackmon who's only, what, like 6 foot or 6'1", 205, 208 pounds, whereas Floyd is 6'3", 6'4", 220 pounds. So, you know, I can see why my source says that the Rams might actually like Floyd better than Blackmon, which would make sense for them to actually move down unless they value him that much more where they just pick him at number 6. So I'm not sure I can trust, well, I can't really say I can't trust. I'm not sure I can agree with the Cleveland.com report that the Rams are looking to trade up because I'm hearing otherwise. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people that are hearing otherwise because it all depends on who your person is. And that's why everything is really a rumor and nothing is truth. Nothing is fiction at this point. But then you actually look at the other team, the Philadelphia Eagles, who are rumored to be trading up to number 4 with the Browns for the, like, a bounty of picks. And I truly believe, and I actually said this on 92.3 The Fan, on Saturday afternoon, I truly believe that this Eagles rumor is a direct result of the snowball effect that social media can cause with any type of information or rumor. Because I was watching NFL Network earlier this week, and Mike Mayock, their draft analyst, came up with a hypothetical and specifically said, this is just my guess, an outside-of-the-box thought of who potentially trade up into the top 5 to get Tannehill. And he mentioned the Philadelphia Eagles, and they could actually be targeting the Cleveland Browns at the number 4 pick because there's the connection of Browns general manager Tom Heckard being with the Eagles before he came to Cleveland. And because I saw that, and I believe I actually tweeted it out on Twitter at Daniel Wolf NFL, I want to say that it's the total snowball effect. I don't see how someone actually thinks that that could happen. If that happens, am I going to be angry? No. I would, as everyone knows on Twitter who follows me, I would love to have Trent Richardson because of his overall value to multiple layers and facets of the Browns offense and the needs that are on the offense. Specifically, explosiveness, a playmaker, star power, someone the defenses have to actually plan against. and dictate coverages and how many guys are in the box and so on and so forth. But, you know, if they got a bunch of picks and, you know, picked a bunch of wide receivers and new running back like Doug Martin or David Wilson, and a right tackle, and like filled a bunch of needs in the first two rounds because of all the extra picks that they'd get in that trade, with hypothetical trade with Philadelphia, I mean, you can't be that angry. But again, it's the Browns passing up on an elite talent. And how many more times do the Browns have to pass up an elite playmaker who brings instant star power and excitement and entertainment to the offense? The offense has been so mediocre for so long, since 2007, when they had that breakout year with Braylon Edwards and Jamal Lewis and Kellen Winslow. And, you know, none of those guys are really, I guess you would say, elite talent, because they've all been kind of like second tier elite talent, if that makes sense. Like, there's the highest tier, which is the elitist of, above all elite talent. And then there's like the second tier, which is kind of like borderline, could be, but still kind of isn't. Like Braylon Edwards is the perfect example, and I hate to like call the guy out, but you know, he's got the type of talent that he could be a superstar, could have been a superstar, but he never got to that potential because of his lack of concentration and so on and so forth. But still, my point is that that's the last time the Browns offense has been exciting, and they've actually had playmakers the defense has had to plan against. And this offense needs that. Colt McCoy needs that. The offensive line needs that. They need a skill position player who is such a stud that even if defenses plan against him, he's still going to get 100 yards rushing and, you know, 40, 50 yards receiving and a touchdown or two. That's the kind of guy that Trent Richardson could be, in my opinion. And I've been watching him at Alabama since he was a freshman. So, you know, say what you want when it comes to, oh, well, you're being biased because you've been following him for so long. But that's the point, though, is that I have been following him for so long and I have seen him play. And he is, I was more impressed by him when he was backing up Mark Ingram, who won the Heisman Trophy while Richardson was his backup. And that speaks volumes for the fact that, you know, Ingram did get the Heisman, but then was only a late round, first round pick last season by the Saints, who had to trade up because they wanted him so bad from the second round, just in case someone else didn't take him before the first round ended. But now you're looking at Trent Richardson, who was his backup to a Heisman Trophy winner, who was being touted as a top five pick. And the Browns just can't pass on that. They can't pass on that potential. And who doesn't want to see a running back who's really suited to be a West Coast offense running back, because he is so versatile in his game and the way he plays, just running around, like even running around in the snow against the Steelers and just tearing through Pittsburgh. Okay, maybe I'm going a little too off of the cuff there, but you know what I'm saying. You know, Trent Richardson has the ability to be that type of running back, especially in the colder weather months, to make a big impact against AFC North defenses. And yes, you can have that argument, well, you know, all four of the AFC North defenses were in the, like, the top 10 or the top 12 at the end of last year. Yeah, that's true. And they all have great defenses, which is why you need an elite playmaker on offense who causes those defense to plan against them. And therefore, depending on what the Browns pick as a wide receiver or whoever, could potentially free up a wide receiver on the outside on a short route or a tight end over the middle, because there's that extra guy watching Trent Richardson. And you know, that's really where my thought process is when it comes to the Browns and the fourth pick and these trade rumors and who they should pick. I mean, I could get into talking about why Tannehill isn't a good option. And I think I will, but I'm thinking I'm going to take a quick break right now just to regain some focus, and I will be right back with Pylon Podcast. Welcome back to Pylon Podcast. I am your host, Daniel Wolf. Pylon Podcast is partners with NationalFootballAuthority.com, which you could follow on Twitter at NF Authority. You could also follow myself on Twitter at Daniel Wolf NFL. Been talking Browns trade rumors, Trent Richardson. I'm going to talk about Tannehill for just a quick second. Then I'm actually going to get to some questions that have been sent to me on Twitter that I asked out for before I started recording this podcast. And Ryan Tannehill, my biggest concern with him is that every single expert and analyst says that he needs like a year or two or three to sit, learn the game, and then he could potentially become a franchise quarterback. Well, even though the Browns are actually building for the future and long term, they also need to understand that they need to build to show progress to the fan base, which is one of the reasons why I don't think that Tannehill is going to be the pick at number four. If he falls at 22, maybe that's a completely different story, but we're talking about number four specifically. And especially, you have to think of what Holmgren and Heckert are thinking about and what's going through their mind right now. One of the things that I kind of concocted in my head was the thought process of why they might not pick Tannehill. And the biggest reason or thought process would be, can Tannehill beat out Colt McCoy in training camp to win the starting job? Now, if he can't, he's going to be sitting behind Colt McCoy, and then you just wasted your number four pick on a guy who potentially, again, potentially is the key word, become a franchise quarterback in a couple years, when you could have had an elite playmaker on offense at a skill position who starts on day one and has an immediate impact. The Browns aren't in a position to actually pick and sit a quarterback, in my opinion. I know there's a lot of people out there who think completely opposite and think just find the guy. If he has to sit for a year or two, then that's fine, but at least you have the guy. But who's to say after a year or two he is going to be the guy? If I'm going to pick a quarterback in the top five, I want to know that, yes, he is a franchise quarterback. He is a Cam Newton. He is an Andrew Luck. He is a Robert Griffin III and can start on day one and play at a high level. That is what picking in the top five, heck, maybe even picking in the top 10 is all about, finding that guy who can be an instant impact player and not have to sit. Now, if Colt McCoy, you know, is a serviceable quarterback and Holmgren and Heckert are okay with sitting Tannehill for a year or two because they know he's not ready, and they do that, am I going to be angry? Of course I am, because I want instant gratification right now. And just because you pass on a potential franchise quarterback at number four for an immediate impact elite running back at number four, you're getting that instant gratification. And yes, the Browns aren't going to be winning 10 games and making the playoffs this year. Hopefully they'll win 7-8 because that shows progress. But my point is that even though you're picking for instant gratification and to show progress in theory this season by picking Richardson or whoever that's not a quarterback that's going to be sitting for a year or two, you're actually still building for the long term, because say you add these weapons, Colt McCoy does well. Okay, he does well. That's one conversation we could have. Say he gets all these weapons and he doesn't do well. Okay, well, you already have playmakers in position or in place, so you can find another quarterback and he's already got weapons around him. That's kind of where I'm thinking with this whole Tannehill thing. But moving on, I am going to actually pull up some Twitter questions that have been sent to me. And bear with me, because sometimes it's a lot harder to read out loud Twitter questions because you only have 140 characters to get your question or point across. And sometimes there's abbreviations and some words are left out. So bear with me. But this first one is from @ Fan of Game First. That's the number one ST. @ Fan of Game First asks, is this the draft the front office makes a statement not only to the fan base, but to the league that they're a team to play for by getting Trent and then being aggressive and trading up for one of the top three wide receivers? I think that this is the draft that they are going to make a statement and say, hey, we are finally plugging in more important pieces to our roster, to our offense, to our defense, in order to start making that next step. This is really a make or break draft. And a lot of people have said this, and I've said this myself, for this front office, because they need to hit on at least their first three picks if they just sit tight and use those first three picks at number 4, number 22, and number 37. Each of those guys needs to be a day one starter, in my opinion, which is why, you know, I kind of, you know, don't want the whole quarterback pick with any of those three picks, because they need to find some starters. Maybe they find more than three starters. I know of the 16 picks that Holmgren and Heckard have actually had with Cleveland in the past two drafts, 9 of those guys are starting right now. So odds are that they're going to be able to find some more starters. And if they can do that, then that is really going to make a statement to both the fan base and the league that the Browns are beginning to turn it around. And I hope that answered your question at Fan of Games First. Let me scroll up here. We have a question here from CDuke1217. What should our offense to defense ratio be on draft day? I know you like Lavonte David, which I do, because he could be an instant starting weak side linebacker for the Browns. But what other defensive players do you like? Well, to answer your first question, what should our offense to defense ratio be on draft day? If we're just talking specifically about the first draft day, like, I don't know what draft day is it the entire draft? But what I want is I want easily a higher ratio of offense to defense with all the picks in this draft. Other defensive players that I like, it really depends on, you know, do you want me to go through and give you players that I like for each draft position? If that's the case, at number 4, if it's not going to be Trent Richardson, I like Morris Claiborne. It makes sense. Number 22, there's some guys on defense that I like as well. Cornerback Stephon Gilmore from South Carolina is another guy that I like at 22. If the Browns, you know, choose to go defense at 37, you know, there's at that point, it really depends on what happens in the first round. But I mean, you can get David as an outside linebacker there to start on day one. You could get Bruce Irvin, who's like an outside linebacker, defensive end hybrid, kind of like how Chris Gokhan was coming out of college, which is one of the reasons why I think Bruce Irvin will wind up being picked by the Browns, because he is kind of like Chris Gokhan, who Tom Heckert actually drafted. But there's actually way too many defensive players to list unless I get a more specific question. So I'm actually going to move on to at the number 2, Shy Dog, who asks, when will the Browns address the O-line and linebacker positions? I've been saying I do not want either position filled in the first round because I want a running back and wide receiver. Doesn't matter. Well, it does matter which is which for 4 and 22, but I want that to be the focus in the first round. Offensive line, I've been saying you can find a quality starting right tackle in rounds 3 or 4. I've said that on Twitter a bunch of times. Linebacker, you could probably find a guy at 37. So I'm thinking that offensive line and linebacker could potentially be selected at picks 37 in the second round and quite possibly the 3rd or 4th round as well. Oh, here's a good question. It's from at CMDRJava. If the Browns actually offered the 4, the 22, and next year's first, did the Rams take the wrong deal? The Rams didn't take the wrong deal because the Browns didn't want to give up their second rounder as well, even though they tried at the last second. But that's that whole, someone needs to like do some investigative reporting and could probably write a book on what really happened during that RG3 deal. And who knows, maybe we'll see it down the, you know, in the future. And if we do, then I definitely want to get some royalty fees from that for having the idea. Next question. Who are your favorite sleepers and where will we draft them from? Once again, at CDuke1217. C Duke 1217. I would say that some of my favorite sleepers are more so at wide receiver. I do like Cal's Marvin Jones, who would be able to transition into the Browns' West Coast offense seamlessly because Cal runs a form of West Coast offense. He could be a target in the third round for the Browns if he falls to the third round. A lot of people are saying he'll go in the second round, but I think he might actually be there in the third round. And we know that, the Browns need more than just one wide receiver. So if they could actually pick up two wide receivers within the first 3 or 4 rounds, I think a lot of fans will be happy, especially if it's a guy like Marvin Jones who can potentially, and I'm using potentially way too much, and I do apologize. That's kind of the word of this podcast. But he could wind up being a starter for the Browns as like a number three guy. Or he could even be ready to step in and be a number four wide receiver for four wide receiver sets. So I'm just going to give you that one sleeper and move on to the next question. But thank you for sending that in. This one is from at Casting Crown 40. Do you feel the Browns take Trent Richardson at four and trade back up to get Floyd or take Hill at 22? Well, I don't think the Browns are going to be trading back up from 22 because to get Floyd, they're going to have to get at least into the top 15, perhaps into the top 10, and that could cost them either their second round pick, their number 37 pick this year, or it could actually cost them a second round pick, in 2013, or it could actually cost them a first round pick in 2013. One of the things I've noticed this offseason with the new CBA agreement in place because of the lockout last year is that that draft value chart, it doesn't matter anymore. There is no draft value chart when it comes to point system with positions and trading up and which picks to add up to a certain some amount of points, blah, blah, blah. And proof of that is, granted, it was a trade for a future franchise quarterback, which kind of adds more value into the trade, but the trade for RG3, I mean, three first round picks, it's I believe the first in history and that type of sum of first round picks for one guy. And that has set the bar. Like if you want to trade into the top five to get a franchise quarterback, that is the bar now. You have to at least match that offer to get a potential franchise quarterback in the top five who is of an elite status like an RG3 is or an Andrew Luck. So that's not saying that like if someone wants to trade up to four to pick Tannehill, they're going to have to pay the same much because there's a big drop off right there when it comes to value and talent. So really to get back to your question, would you trade up to get Floyd? I probably wouldn't because it'd be too costly. Or take Hill at number 22. I do like Stephen Hill. I like his ceiling is really high, his talent ceiling, like what he can accomplish. He could become one of the best wide receivers. But again, it goes along of, it takes maybe a year or two or three. And the Browns really need to use that number 22 pick to, again, pick a starter on day one, which is why I like Kendall Wright a lot better. He's smaller. He's only 5'10", 196 pounds. But he's a good complement to Greg Little, who's 6'2", 220, 225 pounds, because you have the bigger body in Little and then the speedy, shifty guy in Wright. And, they can feed off of each other because one guy's going to be more the downfield, the other guy's going to be more of the over the middle, or vice versa. You could switch it up, but they're going to be able to work together well in tandem. And that'll do it for this episode of Pylon Podcast. I appreciate everyone listening in. Again, this is Pylon Podcast on NationalFootballAuthority.com. You can follow National Football Authority at NF Authority on Twitter. You can also follow me, Daniel, on Twitter at DanielWolfNFL. And hopefully I'll be able to get another episode of this done sooner than later. But thanks for tuning in, guys. Good night. Take care.